Mace doesn't need to growl.
There you go.
No growl?
No growl today.
The growl
no
would have taken today. You straight out. That's not
I
the
am
move.
Continuing to ramp up from being unbelievably. So I'm fueled by NyQuil at this point. NyQuil and codeine cough syrup.
Sponsoring the program?
Sponsoring the show today. Clinton, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I am in studio. I did Around the Horn today. So we are downtown L.A. It seems to be relatively vibrant, if you
yes.
will. So things are going well.
Excellent. And Bergie, Jorge, everything go good while I was gone?
Sí, todo bien.
We missed you, Mace. That's all
right,
you need
thank
to know.
You.
We
That's
missed
what
you.
I needed to hear yep. more than anything else was that you missed me.
Exactly.
I was waiting for somebody to say it. So,
I know you pretty well at this point.
Good. So it all comes down to this, huh? It all
yeah.
comes down to one game. You know, you
yeah.
play 162 games, and you win 106, and it comes down to one game. As I like to say, 54 outs is what it takes to win a baseball game. Now, is that correct or is that not?
I mean, look, a lot of people have been talking about this, and I think that if it weren't for the fact that the Dodgers were in this position, a lot of people would be like, oh, well, you should win the games, you know. And do I think that they should expand the playoffs, Mace?
Yes.
Sort of.
But
here's the thing. I don't think they should expand the teams. I don't even necessarily agree with a reseed. But you could make the wild card three games. I wouldn't hate that. You know what I mean? But the thing is this too, is that you got to remember, this could have been a 163 situation.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like at some point you have to stop. And it's interesting to see just how the sort of psychologies of how people feel about the playoff formats change based on what teams are in, based on the teams that they're rooting for.
Although in fairness, I've always hated the single game play-in.
Oh, yeah?
I hated the wild card game all along. I thought the 1 year, the strike year, made perfect sense to me because it was all three game series,
right.
which made sense in the first round. It just seems lunacy to me that you play for 6 months and it comes down to one game. It comes down to nine innings. And you can wipe out a season just like that. And the Dodgers are going to face a really hot St. Louis Cardinals team. Now, I did some research because I do that sometimes for the show, Clinton.
Okay.
And what I found is that there is no correlation between being a hot team and winning in the postseason.
So let me ask you this.
Yes.
You found that based on data from which decade?
From the current decade, historically.
Right. Well, the only reason I say that is because, as you know, this game has evolved so much over the years, you know, and like I know a lot of people say like, oh, the 1908 Yankees were blazing a trail and they fell in the World Series and all this sort of stuff. I do think that as we move closer to the playoff formats that both you and I like better, whatever they may be, the correlation between those two things changes. You know what I'm saying? Like, I do think that the longer the playoffs get, the more teams that are involved get, the correlation towards momentum will increase. Now, does that mean that the Cardinals are going to come into this game necessarily and, you know, dance all over the Dodgers? No. But I think there's something to be said for that just from the nature of the way the game is played these days. But, I mean, the Cardinals had a good streak, but their last six were what, Greg? I mean, like, they didn't...
They won 17 in a row and then lost 2 of 3 on the way out,
yeah.
I believe.
Two of three, okay.
Ultimately, the Cardinals finished the year going 19-3. Dodgers finished the year going 18-4. I think it's kind of a wash at this point.
Yeah, that's
the
thing. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. And you know, Max Scherzer, if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said I feel rock solid about Max Scherzer. His last two starts, threw about 10 innings and gave up 10 earned runs. So I question that now. I mean, he's still the best pitcher on the planet when he's right. The question is he right now? Is there something wrong with Max Scherzer? Is he off a little bit?
Mm.
Would you rather at this point see, I mean, the way Urias and Buehler threw down the stretch, those last starts for them were absolutely money. They lined this up for Scherzer to pitch in either game 163 or the wild card game. And, you know, maybe they got the right guy. I hope they got the right guy. I pray they got the right guy.
It sounds like you're, I don't want to say legitimately second-guessing this, but genuinely kind of concerned. I mean, do you think that this is the right decision?
To start Max Scherzer?
Yeah.
You know, I've gone back and forth on it, right?
Uh-huh.
So, in other words, when I think Bergie and I agreed that we thought Buehler should start a wild card game as of a month ago. And then when Scherzer went on to that red hot streak where he, I think, took a no-hitter into the eighth inning at some point there. We both kind of flipped and said, no, it's Scherzer. Now things have kind of, the tables have turned a little bit. The pitcher who's not hot is necessarily Scherzer, but that's the guy we're going to see tomorrow. Scherzer has got a long history against this Cardinals team. These teams, Scherzer has seen the Cardinals a lot. And, you know, that can work to your advantage and that can work against you.
I got to say, too, in that I don't subscribe to the logic of necessarily this is why you got this guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that I would have been that upset if Dave had chosen to go to somebody else for this game. Because on some level, I mean, yeah, you traded for him for exactly the purpose of having him in a big game. But did you trade for him necessarily for it to be the wild card game if the matchup wasn't great and he was off base? So I don't know. I mean, I don't think that we're going to second guess that decision once the game starts. But I do understand why right now it's easy to say that, well, you know, we wish it could be perfect. But I don't know, man. I still ultimately think Scherzer is the right decision. And not just because he's the big name. I just think he's the best pitcher for this spot. I think he's – I don't know. I just think his stuff is going to be that good, man. He's the kind of competitor that I think after a trade like what happened will make sure that he is as ready to play as ever. And, you know, he missed the start in the World Series in 2019 because, you know, his neck locked up on him. So this is not unheard of that he's been dinged here and there, but I think he wants this one pretty bad.
First nine starts with the Dodgers, 0.78 ERA, and then his last two starts, 11 runs, 17 hits, three home runs, and just 10 and a third innings. Mm. So he did scuffle in his final two starts. Bergie, how are you feeling about it?
I really like it, actually. You're right. We both did think that Buehler was about a month ago, and then he started to kind of fall apart a little bit and seemed to be a little tired. But now, I mean, you got him for this exact moment. You got him for a wild card game. And like looking at some of the stats, Scherzer versus the Cardinals, he kind of owns them a little bit. I mean, this is just throughout. This Arenado's 2-for-10. Paul Goldschmidt's 5-for-32 with 16 strikeouts.
That's the big one, by the way.
That is the huge one, right? So, I mean, there's just a lot of there's a lot of good that goes into all of this. I think it's the right guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the right guy. I mean, obviously, we have no choice now. Whether it is or not, right. This is the guy we're going to get. So it's not really a decision. This is the guy whose turn it is, and it was all set up for this purpose in the first place. That's why the rotation was juggled the way it was, so that Scherzer could pitch either game 163 or the wild card game. And this is who we're going to get tomorrow. The guy to watch for, by the way, in that Cardinals lineup, I was just looking at Tyler O'Neill.
No, he's had a season, yeah.
13 homers and 30 RBIs in September.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
In
September.
Kid's good.
Yeah, and so that 2-3-4 goes Goldschmidt, Tyler O'Neill, and Nolan Arenado. Unbelievable 2-3-4 to get through. I still like the Dodgers' bullpen. Gallegos has been really good for the Cardinals, but I think the Dodgers' bullpen has been very good top to bottom. We could get to a point where we see Kenley Jansen in that game tomorrow, which will freak everybody out, but I have faith in Kenley Jansen.
I have faith in Kenley Jansen, too, but I also feel like this is not – I guess I'm thinking about what my drama management is going to be emotionally. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I don't – you know, meaning that I don't know that the Dodgers are going to win a close game. I think that the Dodgers need to make this thing – you know, like, the Dodgers are significantly – talented enough more than the Cardinals, in my opinion, that if they really put things together, can handle them. The Cardinals are very much a hot team. Yeah, they're a talented team, but if you're – and I say this in this context, Mace. If you're going to win the World Series, I don't know that scraping by in the wild card game makes me feel very good about their chances.
You know what, though? Here's where I view that, Clinton. I mean, you know, in a seven-game series, talent wins out, more likely to win out. In a one-game playoff – talent doesn't always win out.
That's true.
Talent doesn't always carry the day. The Dodgers, without question, have the more talented lineup top to bottom, even without Max Muncy in there. And, you know, the loss of Kershaw, Muncy, and to a lesser degree, Kershaw, I think, is really, really going to be significant for the Dodgers, even though he wasn't having a good month of September.
That's well, let me ask you a little dig a little deeper on that. I mean, we're – because I said earlier in this season, I said even if Kershaw comes back and it's after all that time off, number one, do you know how well he's going to be physically? And number two, is he really going to be able to just sort of get back to it in terms of what it takes coming off the IR right into the playoffs. I don't know that I think Kershaw's that big of a loss. And to be quite honest, I think it takes a couple decision-making elements out of the hands of Roberts that makes things a little easier in terms of how he's going to approach things with his staff.
Yeah, I mean, you get your 1-2-3, right? You get Scherzer and you get Buehler and you get Urias, and your fourth game was a toss-up anyway. If you went with Tony Gonsolin or you went with Clayton Kershaw, I mean, I think we got to get down to the reality that Clayton Kershaw may have pitched his final game with the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's sad, but
This could be it. And it's sad to see him go out that way without the – at least he did get the one World Series, and he pitched well in the World Series last year. But that may be it for Clayton Kershaw as he becomes a free agent here. The other issue, I think, looking at the wild card playoff games, and obviously we've got Yankees versus Red Sox tonight, and we've got Dodgers Cardinals tomorrow, and we're all over that for you. By the way, we'll have the game for you. First, here's the way the lineup goes tomorrow. Travis and Slee will go to 1:30. Then we got Lakers Suns pregame on 7:10. Dodgers Cardinals on KRDC 11:10 a.m. And then after Lakers postgame on 7:10, we will pick up Dodgers Cardinals live. So we've got it completely covered for you.
A couple quick things here for you, Mace.
Yes.
I noticed that, Greg, you put something in this in our show document that does not mention. It says, if you notice, it says ESPN baseball experts' predictions for the playoff games. I am one of those experts, Mr. Bergman.
Are you one of those?
Just so you know that.
I didn't
know.
Okay,
let's be clear about that. All right, anyway.
So how many total experts are there? There are 36 experts, it looks like.
It looks like there are a lot. I did not realize the expert list was this long, but that's fine.
Do you feel a little worse now?
No, because I just some of these names I don't necessarily recognize. Oh, that's not true. I know who everybody here is, though. Okay. I picked the Dodgers in this game, for sure.
You did pick the Dodgers.
Yes.
So, nationally wild card game. The experts choose the Dodgers 29 times. The Cardinals chosen by 7 of ESPN's experts. So they are, you know, they're favored. Is it fair to say, is there such a thing as a heavy favorite in a wild card game?
I mean, they're favored to win the World Series. So I think they would be qualified as a heavy favorite to win the wild card. And this gets back to my point, is that if they really get it done, I'm not saying this should be an easy game. Don't get me wrong. But if the Cardinals run out of gas, per your theory, I don't necessarily know how much I want to be getting into the bullpen if I'm the Dodgers.
Yeah. I also wonder if, at some point, again, because you've got until Friday till the start of the NLDS, if you don't see Julio Urías out of the pen tomorrow, the way we saw him finish up the World Series Game 6 last year.
Right.
You know, he is a dynamic arm coming out of the pen, and you could still have him in Game 2 on Saturday of the NLDS. So it's conceivable that it won't be Jansen, that it could be somebody like Urías.
Are you on the Matt Beatty train that everybody else here at the station is in terms of starting at first base?
Yeah, I am on the Beatty train.
Mace.
Bergman, you have convinced half of the station that this is going to work.
I didn't even realize there was a Beatty train.
Oh, it's a big train. Travis is on it. Greg's on it. Oh.
What are you on?
I think it's got to be Bellinger, but I also think that you could play Trey Turner in center field. I've departed from that. I realize that nobody wants that to happen in order, you know, but, you know, in order to get Gavin Lux at second base, yada, yada. We don't have to do that. I think Bellinger's worth the start at first. That's just me. I don't think this Pujols idea is good. I think you need his bat off the bench. I would not start him in a game like this. I just think that's too weird. But I don't know. I think it's got to be Bellinger because, again, I am of the opinion that if this run is going to happen, guys like that have to be able to play in positions like this, and that's just it.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is Albert Pujols struggles with the soft stuff, and Adam Wainwright throws a lot of the soft stuff, a lot of the cutter, and a lot of the junk. So it's not a good spot, although it's tempting, you know, versus the Cardinals, and there's some sort of storybook quality to that whole thing. But ultimately, I want to see Bellinger in center field where you can benefit from his glove, and I want to see Beatty at first base where you can take advantage of getting another lefty bat in there against right-handed Wainwright.
Okay. All right, Greg.
Total agreement.
You win this round, Greg. Let's see how this goes.
Now, in fairness, I did not realize there was such a thing called the Beatty train.
I mean, it's been the last couple days, but Greg's been holding meetings in his office one by one.
I have.
Convincing people to come on over to his side of the bridge.
Anybody that comes into the
reason for it?
So Matt Beatty has been pretty high. lot. And after, if you look at his numbers, his splits, he plays a lot of first base, and he has over his career. And he has not given up, had one error at first base. So you know you're going to get a good, solid first baseman. And he's hit a couple of home runs the last couple of days. His bat looks better. He takes more pitches. I mean, that's what we're losing with Muncy, right?
And he's not problematic in the field.
Correct. Exactly. But and also, but losing Max Muncy is such a huge thing for us. He was, five of his last seven games, he was, and the last game doesn't really count because he was only in for one at bat, he had walked. So he was getting back to that, taking a lot of pitches, getting walking and getting on base and being that guy that he was being, you know, patient at the plate. You need somebody that's kind of the similar way, and Matt Beatty seems to be the closest to that.
So somebody asked me, you know, not stepdad Leo, who is my mom's boyfriend. He's a Giants fan.
Okay. Oh, that's – how is that going?
So it's not going well. It's not going well. He's also a 49ers fan.
Oh,
he's
so
also
a
Notre Dame fan.
So this is a beef on multiple fronts. This is,
and by the way, the gloves have officially come off because he started ripping over the weekend, and I started going right back at him.
Ooh. After the Niners lost. Is this in the family chats, the family group chats?
This is in the family group chats. Yes, it is.
In the end,
somebody he asked me how confident I am about tomorrow. And you know what? I think it's flip a coin.
Yeah.
I really think tomorrow is a flip a coin game. As much as it scares me to say that, I really do. I am nervous as hell going into this game because one game, anything can happen.
Yeah, but that's what we call the fun part, right? No? Three games, right?
The fun part?
Yeah. I mean, I like – and that's the thing. I think that it's easy to look at this as a Dodgers fan or as a fan of the Cardinals and say, oh, this is borderline unfair. I can't believe God said this. But you got to understand, for a lot of people around the country, one-game playoff situations are extremely exciting. It's probably what brings what I call the regular sports fan but casual to non-baseball fan to the proceedings as a viewer on television. Like, oh, somebody's going home today. Elimination games are always a big deal to casual fans.
Yeah, and Dodgers Cardinals has been a great rivalry. I mean, I was there in 2014 when Clayton Kershaw blew that couldn't get out of the seventh inning in that game and ended up losing that series to the Cardinals. Cardinals have been we've been snake bit by the Cardinals a bunch of times, and I hate the whole we play the game the right way. And
oh
all that thing.
God, the best fans in baseball crap is so annoying.
It's just go out there, have fun. It's a game. I don't care if you flip your bat. I don't care if you dance around the bases. Playing the game the right way is way, way overrated. And who's to say what the right way actually is? All right, so Dodger fans, what is your level of confidence going into tomorrow? It is Max Scherzer versus Adam Wainwright. It is the 106 win Los Angeles Dodgers versus the wild card St. Louis Cardinals. 877-710 ESPN. Clinton Yates is here. Bergie's here. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Matt Beatty's walk-up song.
It is. No joke.
So what? But I don't understand. So it's Beatty. He's saying Beatty. I always thought it was Matt Beatty. Is it Matt Beatty or Matt Beatty?
I know it to be Beatty.
Beatty.
Does somebody know it to be Beatty?
I've never heard Beatty.
Well, Travis calls him Matt Beatty, and this song is Beatty, Beatty, Bum, Bum.
Yeah. So.
Ah.
So my argument was, okay, change the M. I mean, the M to, you know, the B to an M.
Yeah.
Is it Meaty or Matey? You feel me?
Yep.
English is a dumb language.
It is a very dumb language.
It is.
Good call. Beatty, we should ask him.
I did not realize that was his walk-up song.
It's Kels.
Yeah. Right. Oh, God. Don't get me started on that. God. Shaving his beard and everything, looking like an idiot.
How do people shave their beards? You should never shave beards. If you have a beard, keep it. Just rock it. It's the way to be.
Look at the guy with the beard talking.
The bearded brotherhood has spoken.
You got half a beard.
It is not half a beard. It is a full beard. I just trim it so that it is not going overflowing on my face.
Hold on. Since we're here, what is your beard routine? Because part of the problem with beards these days is that, like, the bearded brotherhood. It's one of those things where, like, okay, this is sort of a weird example, but like the sport of lacrosse is not whack, but the people who play lacrosse are the whack ones. The beards are not the problem, but the people who are in the beard community are constantly doing too much about their beards in public. I see way too many beards and beard balms and beard creams on Instagram. I don't even have a beard.
All right, so I take a shower every day and I wash my beard every day. That is the extent of the manicuring that goes in with oils and that kind of thing. I do trim it every, like if it gets too long, I'll trim it down, but otherwise, no.
Self-trim.
Like yes, self-trim.
So you don't go you know, some sort of Japanese whiskey and then some other cool thing in the background.
Really cool,
you know what I mean? With like a rustic kind of feel. You don't go to some spot for some guy to tend to your beard and tell you about his overalls and how
If I started now, I would die without a beard.
Is that you don't get it at nothing? Yeah. Nothing whatsoever?
Nothing whatsoever. Couldn't grow a beard to save my life.
So if
barely have a mustache even going on.
So how far can you get? Like, will it just be patchy? Is it just like all, is it full? Like, what does it do when you actually let it go?
First of all, it's white.
Which is great.
Totally not digging.
Oh, I know all about it. The white hair with the white beard.
I don't know, man. White beards are, it's tough to pull off a white beard.
Yeah.
Especially if you have white hair and you got a great head of hair, Mace. So that's that's a lot of hair on one head.
A lot of white, exactly. I get nothing. I get a little bit of patchy. I think I remember wearing a Van Dyke at one point when Van Dykes were supposed to be.
Which one is that?
What is a Van Dyke?
That's the one that's the mustache joined with the chin.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking about?
That deal? Oh,
so
like
it's not a goatee.
Not the Fu Manchu?
Not the Fu Manchu. The Van Dyke, the full Van Dyke, the goes around the chin kind of thing. That's about it. That's about the extent of my ability to grow
wear that.
A beard.
Can you?
Yeah, I did.
Can we do an experiment with you, Mace, where like you just, you know, don't shave for a little while? You're at home anyway.
Hold on.
And just like take pictures in each day, and we just can kind of see how it grows and what actually happens.
You know what? Let's grow playoff beards.
Yeah,
that's what the Van Dyke is. Okay, this is also known as more of the Guy Fawkes type of look. Okay.
Oh, it is the Guy Fawkes kind
of
look.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. Jorge, you in? You gonna want to do the playoff beard?
I mean, I'm like Mace. I have patches everywhere.
Oh, that's fine.
But I'm in.
I'm not in.
Yeah,
out. Oh, come on.
No.
Come on,
no. Let's
join in with everyone else.
You individuals do not have to show up on television every once in a while to look at folks. All right, as a member of the Handsome Man community, step one, play to your strengths.
How does one join the Handsome Man
community? Well, I'm glad you asked that, Mace. First question. Here we go. You do not join the Handsome Man community. One is invited to the Handsome Man community. How one gets invited to the Handsome Man community is that somebody else from the community invites you.
So who invited you? You were sponsored by somebody to join the Handsome
Man community?
I invented the Handsome Man community. No, that's not true. But let's just say that over the years, it became clear that I was definitely the president of the local chapter. Thank you. Exactly. There's my music. Is that Clint Yates? Is that television's Clint Yates? My God, is he a handsome man? That's what happens. The music plays, and then I walk in.
You exclusively vet everyone to be part of your
for the local chapter. Yes, I do.
For the local chapter.
So
got
you know,
it.
Kaplan would like to be on the Champions Tour, if you will. You are automatically moved into the Champions Tour as a result of the great head of white hair that you have. This is how that works.
The invitation comes in a red envelope.
It comes
in
a red envelope with a red phone, and you answer the phone. And
that's right.
You know, somebody tells you. Welcome to the community. I'm taking this bit way too far.
So, why, and we'll get back to Dodgers Cardinals tomorrow, one game playoff. I don't understand, and has it been explained, because I've been a little bit under a rock or under a pillow for the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Has it been explained why there was a lightning delay at SoFi Stadium when there's a roof on the building?
So, I think what it was this. Now, they say that because there is, in fact, open-air space at SoFi Stadium, they were being precautionary. My simple thought is that translation is, we weren't ready. We didn't know what to do. So
right.
We just said, hold up for a second to make sure that nobody, you know, nobody got hurt, Craig.
So, I mean, I'm sure you know this, Mace, being there so many times, but that's not a hard roof that's on
top
there.
Well, no, it is. It's a hard, like, acrylic roof. I just wonder if lightning can go through something when it's clear. That's what I was thinking.
No, it's not one of your typical domed stadiums. Like, there is space to get through. Like, people that were in there.
You're right. At the Colonnades, it's open, so there's a cross breeze always going on. But in terms of, like, it's a big acrylic see-through roof. I wondered if lightning can't go through that because it's see-through. I'm not a physicist.
I don't know about whether or not the opacity of the material is what matters, but I think there's just a situation where, like, you don't want to risk it with people walking around up and about, you know what I'm saying, right, like all the time. Separately, though, and I know we'll get to the game later. Can we talk about that thunderstorm last night?
Oh,
that
I'll
was great.
I thought one of my trees got blown up. I mean, it was, you know how you do that thing where you you get the lightning and then you count one,
yeah,
two, three. I was getting one. I was like, lightning, one.
Right. No, I mean, love a good thunderstorm.
Right on top of us.
I love a good thunderstorm, a good quiet storm, as we like to say, which is also what I call the Chargers offense. We'll talk about that later.
Don't do that.
But but anyway, so I've never seen a thunderstorm in Los Angeles, and that one was a nice sort of a what we call a low boil. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't get too crazy for me later at night. It was just kind of like lightning in the distance, a little soft rain. That was delightful, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's rare. I mean, I can count on one hand the number of times there's been a lightning storm since I've been in LA 30 years ago. It just doesn't happen.
Right. No, that was cool.
Very cool. And meanwhile, Bergie, your Raiders. They returned to earth.
Ugh, that was ugly. They looked so bad in the first half. The Chargers defense, which I'll give you plenty of credit for, their defense was in the backfield the entire first half.
Yep.
Derek Carr had no time back there. They were missing guys on the offensive line. Guys were getting hurt in the running back position. They lost DBs that were getting hurt. It was just an absolute disaster
around. Carr was like huddling protecting the ball when nobody was quite to him yet. He was so shell-shocked.
He was scared. I mean, the offensive line was letting everybody get through. Well,
Brandon Staley, coach of the year, front runner at this stage. I think that's pretty obvious in terms of how well. Listen, the Chargers, I said this on TV earlier today, the Chargers lost 7 games by one score last year.
Yeah.
They lost 9 games by one score the year before. That's not the case anymore. This team has figured it out.
Now, am I to believe that you are a Chargers fan?
So here's the deal. I moved here a year and a half ago. The Chargers were new. They had a hotshot quarterback with great hair. The coach was black at the time. And they got great uniforms. This was a lock that I was going to be a fan of this team because every single thing that's not about football that they do, I liked. So, yeah, that's really all it is. Bolt up.
And you are not by the way, I got my – I was very disappointed. I did not get to go to the Rams-Cardinals game on Sunday. That shows you how down and out I was.
Oh, yeah. Neither did I.
I've not, and you didn't either, Jorge. At the end, I said Jorge could use my tickets if we weren't able to use them. In the end, it was like a mad scramble. Wait till the last second, see if it's possible. Try to go.
That's hard.
To see if it abates at all. But in the end, both Juan and I came down with the exact same thing, and it was brutal. It was brutal. All right, so. I want to kind of dig into that game a little bit, particularly the performance of Justin Herbert. We'll get to that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Yeah, I hope you're taking notes on all that stuff. Tomorrow's a big day.
Huge day.
We got Lakers early, and we got the Dodgers versus the Cardinals. Actually, before we do Wheel of Questions, let's sneak in a couple of calls. Clinton's in for John today. Let's go to Joe in Claremont. Joe, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to say about the lineup I thought we should do in the game. I think we should go with Taylor in center and Beatty at first. I don't know what they would see in Bellinger. We've seen him all year just not get it done. He just looks so just out of it at the plate. When he swings and misses, it is just some of the worst at bats I've ever seen. Taylor is great in the field. He's great at the plate. The chances that they hit a ball into center that only Bellinger could get to and Chris Taylor can't, I think it's so slim. I think it just rock with those guys. And then we have Pujols, we have Bellinger, we have Lux ready to come on and pinch hit for anybody if they aren't playing good. But you got to rock with those two.
All right, cool. Hey, Joe, thank you very much for the phone call. Yeah, I'm not Chris Taylor has scuffled also lately. Nobody has scuffled as badly as Cody Bellinger.
No.
And it's an interesting point, the idea that the odds of somebody hitting a ball that Bellinger can get to that Chris Taylor can't are pretty slim. Taylor plays a really solid center field, not a spectacular center field, but a really solid center field. I still like the idea of, especially with the adjusted You know, he's got an adjusted swing now.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Bellinger, you can see he's working at it. This is his 14th swing so far this year. He went on the injured list there and came up with another version of it, a little bit of a wider stance, a little bit looser through the shoulders. I think he deserves a shot. To try to see if he can work it out, even in a high-leverage game like this.
I think it was a good explanation of what the guy said, which is that, you know, yeah, you are taking your chances in center field versus at first base, but the problem there is that when you take your chances in center field, you're more likely giving up extra bases and runs than you are at first base. So there's a reasonable trade-off, but if you just don't think that one guy is better than the other by that much, okay, fair enough.
Bergie?
So I think it happens all the time. A play in center field happens all the time that it's like, oh, if Bellinger was there, he would have made that play. Taylor does play a solid center field, but we've already seen, we saw it in the playoffs last year even, where Taylor was, or was actually, yeah, it was in, last year in the World Series, with the game that the Tampa Bay Rays won, that was a ball that was hit that was that Bellinger would have got to, and Chris Taylor didn't because Bellinger was out of the game because of the shoulder thing.
Right.
So he would have gotten there. So that was these types of things happen in one-game situations. I need the best defense possible, especially in the outfield.
Yeah, it only takes one slicing ball to the outfield. And, by the way, this is one of the strengths of the Cardinals is if you look at all the – and I don't know the defensive metrics.
No, but they're a good fielding team.
The DVORP or whatever the hell the numbers are. They've got arguably the best defense in Major League Baseball. And the Giants are right there too. I mean, defense is fully half of the game. And run prevention has always been a hallmark of Andrew Friedman teams. So that's why I still think you play Bellinger in center field just on the off chance that something gets hit out there that only Bellinger can get to at a critical moment.
And just for young baseball fans, that doesn't always mean outs. It means making sure you're positioned to make sure guys don't get extra bases. It makes sure that balls don't get past you. It means no misplays is what it means. It doesn't always just mean web gems or errors.
No, it could be hitting the cutoff guy.
Yep.
It could be stealing a home run,
just
which Bellinger does.
Educate the youth here, Greg.
I know. I'm agreeing with you. Yeah. I was agreeing with you, sir.
Let's go to Robert in Long Beach. Robert, you're on 710. Hey, man. Hey, Robert.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? You know, I think that it's going to be one of the – if years from now we'll talk about what a pitcher's duel this was. At the end of the day, Max Scherzer's a better pitcher than Adam Wainwright. I think the Dodgers win 3-1 in a nail-biter.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much for the call. So years from now we will talk about what a great pitcher's duel this was.
Years from now when you have a beard. Wait.
Is this a game that winds up being a pitcher's duel, or do we see action on the base paths?
Do we call it a pitcher's duel just because it's not high scoring? Because I think that a pitcher's duel to me is a game in which both pitchers go very deep. It's not just a game that a lot of runs are scored in. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a two-person pitcher's duel. I think this could end up being not a bullpen game, but like I think you're going to have to trust your bullpen a little bit here because both these teams like to get it moving on the base paths. You know, that's why I'm very excited about this. This is not the Yankees who are striking out and hitting it out every other, you know, AB. This is not that at all. That's why, again, this is why the defense on the diamond is so important here, is because you're going to have a play or two that are going to make up the important part. The important part of the game that's not just scoring runs, but it's how you get to score runs. And that's always the part where the anxiety is at the highest, the high leverage situation.
Michael and Pico Rivera was at SoFi Stadium last night. Hey, Michael, you're on 710. What was it like last night, man?
I'm a Raider fan, so it was brutal for me as the game. But I kind of wanted to comment just like on the stadium itself.
Yep.
Beautiful stadium, really, really beautiful. But I just had one concern because it was raining really, really hard last night. There was people slipping like crazy, so I just wish that they would take more safety concerns into that. There was, someone could easily catch a lawsuit or ask for season tickets, but there was people falling. It's clear to myself. I mean, I slipped almost like twice, but
were you up by the open parts of the stadium?
That's the thing. Right when you walk in, like at first I think it's covered, but it's not. There's like little tiny holes. It's like kind of like, I don't know what do you call a gate on the roof before you get to where like the bars are at. But like right when you walk in after you're scanning your ticket, like it's like smooth concrete and like it's just wet everywhere.
Huh.
No matter if you're walking up the stairs or wherever, like before you reach the bar areas, like it's it's like completely open and very vulnerable.
Traction is a factor. Yeah, you don't want that, especially in your. Yeah. Let me ask you one other question quickly. What did they actually say during the weather delay? Was it like, hey, weather delay,
I didn't even know. I didn't even know there was a weather delay. I got to my seat. I got a beer. I got to my seat, and I noticed it's about 5:20 already, and I'm like, where's everyone? The players aren't even on the field. And I seen the clock on the field, and it said 30 minutes, and then I got a text from my friend saying, oh, it might be canceled or there's some sort of delay. I'm like, what the heck? It was kind of weird, like, but it made sense because it is kind of open, but the field is covered itself. So
Michael,
I thought it was
just because of that. Michael, you said you're a Raiders fan?
Yes.
What was the split in the crowd between Raider fans and Charger fans?
From my view, because I was up in the 400 section, but the one area where it was mostly Charger fans was right behind their bench. But other than that, it was basically all Raider fans. Like, I would say a good 75-25.
75-25, wow.
Yeah, more than there would be if the Rams were playing there, right, Mace?
No, definitely that is not the case. Not the case. Hey, thank you very much for the phone call, Michael. Yeah, no, the two Rams games I've been to this year have been, like, rock-solid Ram crowds.
If the Rams played the Raiders, there would be more Raiders fans there. Let's be real.
Not conceding that.
Not conceding that. Okay.
Not conceding that.
The autumn wind is playing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, I know that it's fun to make fun of Chargers fans, but here's the deal. They're basically an expansion team at this point in Los Angeles. You know, they're building for a reason. They're not that good. They got a weird history with a weird owner, but there's Raider fans everywhere, dog. You know what I'm saying? They're probably beating most crowds in there. The team that would probably do the most noise against them is probably the Cowboys, if we're being honest.
Hey, what's
up,
Paul?
The Cowboys were the first team that the Chargers had at home this year.
Yeah.
They've had Cowboys and Raiders.
Yeah. It's tough.
Big disadvantage. Big disadvantage.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Tell you what, coming up next for you, we'll spin the wheel of questions. You never know what's going to come up on the wheel. We will circle back to tomorrow's big game. It's the wild card playoff. It is do or die. It is Cardinals versus Dodgers at Dodger Stadium. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Opacity. That is a big word.
For real.
The condition of lacking transparency or translucence. Opaqueness, as in it's the noun of the adjective opaque.
Now, did you just do that off the top of your head?
I mean, I literally just looked that up.
Oh, you just
Googled
that.
Word
I'm like,
means,
if
that's
you've got that
it.
In your head,
no,
then we're
no,
really out of our league.
Come on. No, I don't need to lie. I don't need to lie. We promote honesty in this program.
Yeah. So, you know, I noticed that I've got a NyQuil cocktail right now along with a side of codeine, and I'm not necessarily at my sharpest at this moment, but I wanted to be here today because it's such a big day.
Yeah.
You know what I was? I was little kid sick. You know how when you were a little kid you'd get sick and everything would shut down? That's what I was for the last, like, week, was little kid sick.
So you're watching The Price is Right, drinking ginger ale and eating saltines. That's what I would do.
That's pretty much what I was doing. Yes, I was.
Nice. Saturday morning cartoons.
Saturday morning cartoons.
You watch some Saved
by
the Bell?
Remember when that used to be a thing?
Yeah. Thundercats in the morning. Oh,
Thundercats is my jam.
Thundercats.
Panthro, the black Thundercat who fixed all the cars.
Yeah.
He's the best. Anyway.
All right, let's spin the wheel of questions. It is brought to you by Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car that's just sitting around not being used, bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Let's give it a spin, Jorge. Excuse me. All right, here's the question. Would you want to live in a world where everyone's thoughts appeared as a text above their head? Would you want to live in a world where everyone's thoughts appeared as a text above their head?
Now, is this this comes from what I'll just presume is the sort of TikTokification of social media, where people are always like, people don't talk on social media anymore. They just point to pieces of text that are otherwise in the frame. Is that the kind of vibe?
But imagine we're having a conversation.
The vibe we're going for
and
here.
In the bubble above your head, it says, damn, Mason is an idiot. That's that sort of thing. Where no matter where you go, the thought bubble is above the person you're talking to.
I could do with the variation on that, which is that, like, you get, like, one a day. You know what I'm saying? I don't need that all day, every day. But just one time a day, I'd like to be able to say, like, press a little button on my phone, and it shows me the text above their head. They're probably going, man, that guy's handsome. No, I'm kidding. But, I mean, it would be really fun to
that's
be able to
the one you're looking
turn
for?
On and off. I don't know. But I couldn't deal with that all day. It'd be too much information overload.
Bergie, what about you?
So I wanted to right away just say, no, absolutely not. I don't want to think about that. But then I started thinking about it. I already think about what people are saying about me. Now I'll just yes. know.
Yes.
And it's like, well, I don't have to worry. Like, if you're saying you don't like me, it's like, all right, well, then great. I'll walk away and I'll go somewhere else. I don't have to talk to you anymore.
So it's a little overwhelming?
No, it's overwhelming not knowing.
It's okay, overwhelming bud? Not knowing what people think about you behind your back?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very much the same. So I constantly go through life wondering what people think about me.
Wow.
I know I'm not supposed to do that. You're supposed to just do you and all that stuff. But I'm constantly worried about what people are going to say when I leave the room and what they're actually saying about me when we're not on the radio. So I would love to have this particular feature. And by the way, above my head, the F word would appear in virtually every text bubble. I mean, I swear a lot in real life. I swear more in my head. Jorge, what about you?
Nah, it wouldn't bother me. If you're talking about me, I don't care. Whatever you're thinking about me, who cares?
Nobody has anything bad to say about
but
Jorge.
But I don't have control over that, so it doesn't bother
right.
me at all.
Right. See, you guys got the therapy bills piling up over here. Jorge and I got the right attitude.
Well, yeah, you guys have the right attitude. Jorge is like the most likable guy in the world. Nobody has anything bad to say about Jorge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's also one of those things where, like, I'll have a conversation with somebody, and then I'll go home later and I'll be like, God, I should have said it differently this way. I should have done that. I wonder what they thought about that. And like, I'm really thinking about it, and it kind of keeps me up sometimes. I don't have to worry about that if I have the little text bubble above their head.
Wait, is it just me or everybody's trying to use big words all of a sudden?
Conversation was a big word?
You stumbled on a big one there, and then you're like, whatever.
Move on.
He said opacity.
We have to keep up. Jorge, we got to keep up with Clinton.
Listen, the community sees all right? So yeah, this is part of it. You know?
Wait a minute. What was Bergman's big word? He doesn't have big words.
Conversation, apparently.
I don't know. It was something else. I'll look it up.
Conversation? Well, you know what? I guess that's a big word for Bergie.
It's like four syllables. Yes, I clapped. Exactly. I absolutely clapped, too.
Very complex.
Love it.
Very complex. All right, so there you have your wheel of questions for today. So if there was a text bubble above my head going into tomorrow's wild card playoff game, it would be O blank.
O-S or O-F?
O-S.
I think it's O-S. An O-S. O-S seems appropriate.
It's not an OF, because I still think we're going to win the game, but it is an OS. Like, it is going to be a really, really hard game to watch. And, you know, part of it for me is, I've explained this before, but I've got multiple Dodger hats. I've got multiple Dodger jerseys and gear. It is going to be a sort of experimentation to figure out what is going to lead us to the best possible conclusion. I do believe in all that stuff. And yes, I do wear a hat, even in bed.
So let me ask you this. Is there any way we can see this? Can we get like a layout of, because you know my favorite thing are uniforms. And so the corollary sort of topic to that is what fans wear as well. Like, do you have a setup? Where are you picking from, if we will?
So in my closet, I've got a stack of Dodgers stuff. I've got a stack of Ram stuff. I got a stack of Lakers stuff. I got a stack of Dodger stuff.
Sure.
And I probably have no less than 14 or 15 different variations of a Dodger T-shirt, a Dodger jersey.
Okay.
And I will try them out. In fact, here, the last Rams home game I went to, we beat Tampa Bay soundly. And one of the things that happened was I'm just going to say this. There was not a lot of mask compliance in the building. During this game. And I was playing by the rules. I had my mask up. And because we were winning, I was nervous to take my mask down even to eat, because I thought my mask being up was the reason we were up on Tampa Bay.
Not because of the pandemic, but because of the Rams. You kept
because
the mask
of the Rams.
Up.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Pandemic. So tomorrow I think is going to be nerve-wracking.
Well, hold on. Are you going to the game?
No, I'm not. I can't. I wish I could. I just would be stupid for me to go.
Okay, so this is an in-house outfit, so the T-shirt is more than appropriate.
The T-shirt is more than appropriate, exactly.
Okay.
And that's what I will go with tomorrow. I'll try T-shirts until I find the one that's giving us the best luck, and that's the one I'll wear. Are you superstitious?
I'm not super superstitious, but like, you know, I know that I'm not a jerseys guy. Like, unless I'm playing in the game, I am unlikely to wear a jersey. That's where I am on that.
What about gear, t-shirts?
Gear, I love that stuff. I'll wear a jersey. I like gear. I like a lot of t-shirts. I have most of the stuff that I have that is about or for the teams of my youth are t-shirts. Long sleeve t-shirts, short sleeve t-shirts. I'm also the kind of guy, this is my main, this is a feature, not a bug of who I am as a fan, but if it's a big game for me to watch, I'll tie a t-shirt on my head too. Like sort of a, I don't even know how to explain it, like kind of a, I don't want to say war because I don't want to be insensitive, but like, you know, a going into battle mode. But
really?
I'm not going to wear
tie
like.
Tie that around your head.
I'll wear a t-shirt on my head. I'll send you a picture of me with a t-shirt on my head.
Yeah, yeah, that I want to see.
You'll see what I'm talking about.
Bergie, you're superstitious, right?
Yeah, I mean, not as much as I used to be, but, you know, like, I'll sit on the floor for a game, and if they're winning, I'll stay on the floor for the entire time. And I actually prefer sitting on the floor, which is weird.
Yeah.
But, like, I'll put, like, my foot in a certain angle, and if I'm sitting on my foot and they're winning, yeah, I'm not moving my foot. It's staying still. But I don't like change my shirts or anything like that. I just, there's just certain positioning.
Like there's something arrogant about superstition. Like somehow you are affecting the
outcome, yeah,
of what is happening on the field. And we're all doing it simultaneously. So we're all doing something different. Jorge, your jersey, you've got an Urias jersey, right?
Like three of them, yeah.
Three of them. Three Urias jerseys?
Yeah, gray, blue, and white.
Oh, wow.
And you will jersey up for the game, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
Wait, no. Oh, yeah, tomorrow, yes, yes, yes. But I have to put it in the morning. That's my only superstition thing.
Okay,
I can't come to work, go home, and put it on. I have to put it the first thing in the morning.
First thing in the morning, yeah. And you've got to wear it all day
all
long
day.
Until the game.
Exactly.
All right, got it, got it.
There's me. I just sent it to the group. There's me with a t-shirt on my head. That's when the Capitals.
Wow.
That's when the Capitals won the Stanley Cup. And the shirt on my head is from when it says winning, but with like the Caps like logo as the W, and I have the jersey on with it. That was a blow up that I lifted from a bar that I used to go to all the time back home.
Now, interestingly, actually, we'll hold this, but Clinton, you went through this wild card playoff game situation a couple
oh, yeah.
of years ago with the Nationals. I want to talk to you about that coming up. And also, we're giving away a pair, actually, two pairs of Eagles tickets for the Forum. Two pairs of Eagles tickets for the Forum. We're going to do one pair at 2:15, and then we'll do Lie of the Day at 3:30. I'm giving you a heads up right now. Sometime between now and 3:30, I will tell a completely fabricated story. If you can figure out what it is, you win Eagles tickets. So make sure you're listening at 2:15 and then Lie of the Day at 3:30. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.